2 months ago, the FBI descended on a mosque in Florida. They arrested a Muslim religious leader there. In time, two prominent clerics were picked up. The clerics were accused of funneling money to the Pakistani Taliban.
The story was important news, but almost as newsworthy was what happened afterward. Nothing. Though it was considered an extremely sensitive case, the arrests did not spark protests in the South Florida Muslim community.
The way the cases were handled is being lauded as a model for the way law enforcement and community should work together. NPR's Dina Temple-Raston continues her reports on counterterrorism training.
To understand the events that took place in Miami 2 months ago, you need to know that in the Muslim American community, just about the most volatile thing law enforcement can do is arrest an imam, a Muslim religious leader. Back in May, the FBI in Miami ended up arresting two, Imam Hafiz Khan, who ran the oldest mosque in South Florida, and his son, an imam in charge of a mosque in a suburb of Miami. After the arrest, there was no backlash, and there was a reason for that.
Obviously, there's a lot of operational planning that goes on before the arrests take place.
John Gillis is the special agent in charge of the Miami FBI office.
We wanted to be sensitive to the fact that these imams would be conducting religious services a number of times each day. So there was going to be no good day to actually conduct these arrests, but there would actually be days that would be worse days to do it, like Friday.
So the FBI decided that the best day to do it would be a Saturday in the morning.
At 6 o'clock in the morning, we have first prayer of the morning. It was a little before 6 o'clock, like 5 minutes before.
That's Saeed Shamin Akhtar. He was at the mosque when the FBI came to arrest the imam. And when I spoke to Akhtar, I asked him to take me around the mosque and describe what happened that morning.
After the prayer started, somebody banged on our door like boom, boom, boom. FBI style, of course, you can understand.
And FBI agents.
Agents, yes.
And where were you? Were you just inside?
We were inside on the very first row. The first green line there, you see that? We were there, we were all sit down solemnly, stand up in thinking of God. God is looking at us, and we were just praying.
While the people inside were praying, more than a dozen agents in their FBI windbreakers surrounded the mosque. Local police had cordoned off a two-block area. The mosque is an ordinary one-story stucco house in the middle of a residential neighborhood. If you didn't know it was a mosque, you'd drive right by it. That Saturday, once the prayers had finished, an agent and a translator approached the imam. The arrest was carried out respectfully.
He came down to inside the masjid with his shoes off.
Who, the agent?
The agent, yes. And he went all the way straight to him. He grabbed his hand and said, "You're coming with me in Pashto."
In Pashto, the imam was addressed in his own language. The people in the mosque were stunned. John Gillis, the FBI agent in charge, had been standing outside. And as he watched officers put Khan in a squad car and drive away, he then picked up his cell phone and started dialing up leaders in the community. One of the people he called was this man, Mohammed Shakir.
FBI was decent enough that they called us before they called the press.
Shakir works for the Office of Community Advocacy in Miami-Dade County.
That, look, this has taken place. I personally was there. I supervised it, and I made sure that everything goes by the book. No violation, no rudeness, no discrimination, not to violate the mosque sanctity. And so we immediately called a meeting, and we got together, and we developed a strategy how to respond.
This may all sound like common sense, but arrests rarely happen this way. In the Miami case, there was a lot of attention to detail. The FBI waited for the morning prayers to end. The agent took off his shoes before entering the mosque. The FBI didn't arrest or handcuff the imam inside the mosque. The leaders of the Muslim community were kept informed. As it turns out, the officers there that day had literally finished, just a week before, a training course on cultural sensitivity involving Arab, Muslim, and Sikh American communities. This is a clip from a film that was shown in their training.
If you visit a mosque, be aware that there are separate entrances to the prayer sections for males and females.
The film is called In the First 3 to 5 Seconds, and it is a bit of a primer on Islamic culture.
Shoes are removed before entering the area dedicated to prayer. Avoid stepping on the prayer rug with your shoes.
What would the arrest have looked like before your training? What would it have looked like 6 months ago?
Would you have known
to take off your shoes?
Yes.
And be that careful?
Yes.
Again, FBI Special Agent in Charge, John Gillis.
I would like to think that we would have been respectful, 6 months ago, 12 months ago, 5 years ago. Yeah, we might have gone into the mosque without taking our shoes off and stuff. And I'm speaking personally here.
Today, the Miami arrests are being held up as a model of how to handle these sensitive cases.
I'm Wilfredo Ferrer. I'm the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of Florida.
Ferrer is one of two dozen U.S. attorneys across the country who've been asked to take part in a pilot program that has them reach out directly to local Muslim leaders.
The reason I think that they got the U.S. attorneys involved is because we can convene the agencies, the community members in a fashion that, you know, we can bring everybody together to the table.
It's taken almost a decade to get to this point. Since the 9/11 attacks, Muslim leaders have criticized law enforcement tactics as heavy-handed. They've complained about the FBI planting undercover agents or confidential informants inside mosques. The FBI won't apologize for those tactics, but they do acknowledge they can do a better job reaching out to the Muslim community. And being culturally sensitive can pay off in other ways.
We have found that Muslim and Arab community members have been extremely helpful in disrupting, informing us of any plots against the United States. And so it's really a win-win for both sides.
The gestures the U.S. Attorney's Office and the FBI made in the run-up to and after the Miami arrests have paid off. 2 months later, there's been barely a ripple in the local Muslim community, even after a judge denied the two imams bail.
Nobody knows all the facts yet. Even the lawyers don't know the facts yet.
Again, Muslim community activist Mohammed Shakir.
And if he's innocent, fine. We went through another American process, and we're still hoping that when all is said and done, he will come out innocent.
And that American process continues. Hafiz Khan and his son have entered their pleas, not guilty, to all charges. Dina Temple-Raston, NPR News.